The Yukon government won't license any new heap leach facilities at Yukon mines until an independent review board's findings are fully reflected in territorial licensing and enforcement policies. This comes from a statement from the government's cabinet communications team sent to the news 5 days after the review board's findings were made public. Laura Seeley, who works in cabinet communications, said by email that the practice of heap leaching can only move forward in the territory if it can be done safely and responsibly, which the report confirms is possible when the proper systems are in place. "We're now carefully reviewing the board's recommendations to determine what changes are needed to support that," Seeley said. Mines Minister John Stryker told the news that the territorial government is still reviewing the board's recommendations before formally committing to accepting or rejecting them all or in part. He noted the board ruled out some potential natural causes, like earthquakes. An independent review board publicly released its findings last week in a highly anticipated report that lays out the technical causes of the heap leach facility failure at Victoria Gold Corp's Eagle Gold Mine on June 24, 2024. The board found that a buildup of adverse conditions and events led to the slide, which was ultimately preventable, according to the report. The report's authors indicate that heap leaching can be done in a safe way in places like the Yukon. They offered more than 50 recommendations to industry, mining operators, and the regulator, Yukon government. Specifically, the board believes that heap leach facilities can be built and run safely in cold climates such as the Yukon, if an appropriate level of rigor is involved from planning and design to construction, operation and closure, as noted in the report. As it stands, the First Nation of Nacho Nyack Dun, FNNND, Assembly won't support a potential buyer who is interested in heap leaching at the Eagle Gold Mine, according to FNNND Chief Donna Hope. Despite the review board's findings, Hope is standing firm behind her First Nation Assembly's call to ban heap leaching and open pit mining on its traditional territory. The calls to action, which came out of resolutions at previous FNNND annual general assemblies, are listed on FNNND's website dedicated to the emergency response. "They stand until our citizens tell our government different," Hope told the news by phone on July 7. In a follow-up email to the news, Hope explained the future of mining is an ongoing discussion that will be considered at the annual general assembly on July 10 to 13. However, she said no vote is planned at the upcoming event because FNNND doesn't anticipate any talks around mining to become meaningful until after a public inquiry is held. In speaking with the news on July 7, Jonas Smith, the executive director of the Yukon Chamber of Mines, said the board's report on the safety of heap leaching in the territory is positive. "That's really good news for the economy," he said. "Not only is that finding crucial when it comes to the Eagle Gold Mine sale process," Smith indicated that the casino and coffee gold mine projects may benefit from the findings. Smith finds some comfort in learning about the reasons behind the failure. He noted the incident could have been prevented, as the report pointed out. During the interview, Smith called on the Yukon government to clarify its position on heap leaching in the Yukon in order to provide certainty for the above-mentioned projects. A statement via text on behalf of the official opposition Yukon Party indicates the Yukon Party agrees with the report's authors that heap leach mining can be done safely in the Yukon. An email statement attributed to the Yukon Party Caucus remains hopeful that the governing Yukon Liberal Party will urgently make clear the future of heap leach mining in the Yukon. That clarity is needed particularly because of the sale process that's underway. The Yukon Party would prioritize developing a plan to operationalize the recommended improvements to industry practices and regulatory processes as outlined in the report. This should include actions and timelines for implementation, reads the caucus statement. Retired mining analyst Louis Rifkind told the news by phone on July 7 that a multitude of things that went wrong meant the slide was inevitable. "If each one had just been a standalone thing that had gone wrong, the collapse might not have happened," he said. "The fact that so many things were deviating from what was originally intended or planned, does make one wonder, was there a certain culture at play on the site that saw a certain laxness to meeting what was originally designed that led to this collapse?" a perfect world, would move away from heap leaching, per Rifkind. He recognized, we do not live in a perfect world, and using cyanide in heap leaching is a cost-effective way to extract gold. He noted it could be risky for a company to venture into using new technology or on a large scale. I know gold is financially valuable, especially in these troubled times, but is it worth the environmental risk? Rifkind asked rhetorically. It might be time to have a conversation about this, and we should not be surprised if we decide not to permit heap leaching, given the environmental risk. He said the report's authors are assuming that the mining companies doing the work know what they're doing and don't change their design too drastically, and the regulatory body will keep a close eye to ensure everything is done right to prevent another disaster. The recommendations fall short, from FNNND's perspective. On the heels of the report, FNNND re-upped its call for a public inquiry given the First Nations questions around the systemic root causes, as opposed to the technical causes, and how regulatory negligence and lax government oversight may have factored in, according to a press release. The release suggests the heap leach facility was compromised by recklessness and lax safety culture at every stage as Victoria Gold Corp. deviated from plans and best practices. Without those answers, our people will be reluctant to see any further mining in our traditional territory, which is already suffering so badly from the Eagle Gold Mine disaster, Hope is quoted saying in the release. FNNND traditional territory covers about 130,000 square kilometers of land north of Whitehorse, the Yukon's capital. Given the narrow scope of this review, Yukon NDP leader Kate White has repeatedly echoed FNNND's calls for a public inquiry. White wants a broader look at the territorial government's common role in other mining mishaps around the Yukon, such as at Wolverine and Minto mines. White hopes the Yukon government and industry will accept the recommendations to avoid similar human-caused catastrophes from happening down the line. White expressed grave concerns around heap leaching but won't commit to an outright ban without honest conversations and a long, hard look inward. I just don't think that we can allow industry to do what they think is best unless it's been proven best in other places, she said. On July 7, PricewaterhouseCoopers Inc., the court-appointed receiver put in charge of managing and cleaning up the Eagle Gold Mine site, held a virtual information session for updates on water management and treatment, environmental monitoring, heap leach stabilization and the receivership proceedings. A representative for the receiver informed the news that the event is closed to reporters. The receiver is overseeing the Eagle Gold Mine sale process. Contact Dana Hatherley at dana.hatherley@yukon-news.com.